would invite you to turn to the back page of your worship leaflet today. Turn into the words of your own Bible. That is certainly well and good. If you'd like to follow along with the NIV as I read, you are most welcome. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. It's funny what we might remember from childhood. I told the story already about my grandmother and her neighbor lady. No, I don't think I told that story here at, where are we? Sykeston? Yeah, no, forget that. Told it a long time ago to people who weren't worthy to hear it. Well, that was bad, wasn't it? Better continue. What we might remember from childhood, my grandmother and her neighbor lady used to plant a sizable garden. Not huge, but respectable, every spring. And they put in potatoes and peas and rhubarb, squash, string beans, sunflowers, and one of their favorites, bell peppers. And since I used to help them put the garden in each spring, I remember that Grandma bought two flats of bell pepper starter shoots at the local seed store. And she got them home, though, this time and commented that the seedlings really didn't look quite like bell peppers. But the label said that's what they were. So we planted them. And the growing season must have been fantastic that particular year, because I remember those pepper plants growing pretty fast. And Grandma commented again that something must be wrong because they sure did not look like bell peppers. They were smaller and kind of light yellowish green in color. Their shape wasn't the beautiful green apple bell shape of her favorite pepper either. Those little things looked like small cornucopias or little curvy funnels. The final product smelled sort of like a pepper, though. And I was there along with the neighbor lady when Grandma plucked a few off the vine, washed them at the outdoor faucet, and took a great big hearty bite. That was the only time I ever saw my grandmother spit. I'll say spit. Can you guess what they were? Jalapenos. Man, you folks are good. I knew I was in a breadbasket of America, one of them, when I moved to Southeast Missouri. And you know your jalapenos. Well, obviously the flat was not marked correctly, because we know we can't plant jalapenos and expect to get beautiful bell peppers. Now, what Paul writes in Galatians 6, verse 7 is true. He says, you reap whatever you sow. You harvest what you planted. And that's the thing about seeds. If we plant tomatoes, we don't get potatoes. If we plant plums, we don't get apples. If we plant flowers, we don't get grapes. Whatever you plant, you harvest. And in these two brief parables from Mark, Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of God. He says that it comes even when we, like the farmer, when we don't understand all the mechanisms and miracles of how it happens. And he compares it to the mustard seed. a tiny, tiny thing that grows into a sizable plant. I was reading this week that it takes 20,000 mustard seeds to have 1 ounce. 1 ounce of black mustard seed takes 20,000 seeds. I didn't count them personally, but I trust what I read. Those tiny things can each grow to be 8 to 12 feet tall into a bush with a main trunk about as thick as a man's arm. And in the Middle East, especially, birds often nest in them in the wild. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. It starts off small, but it grows and grows and grows. History itself backs that up. The Christian faith as we know it today grew from a handful of followers in Israel to a worldwide faith. But then we realize that lots of things actually start out really small. Look at human life. It begins microscopically in size and continues to grow. And we see beautiful music and literature. All music begins with just 8 basic notes. All American and English literature, the great plays, the wonderful lyrics, terrific books, all begin with just 26 little letters to which a 5-year-old can sing the ABC song. The point is, sometimes it is the little things that make the difference. Many times those little acts of kindness and courtesy, small acts of love and thoughtfulness are more important than anything else we might do. They're like tiny seeds that we plant into the soil of life, little seeds we sow into the hearts and minds of others. Similar to the man in the parable, we all are scattering seeds as we go through each day. Every one of us is a seed sower. Some good, some bad, some indifferent, some jalapeno, some bell pepper. But we are all scattering seeds. And what we plant is what we're going to harvest eventually. If people plant cockle burrs and think they're going to harvest carrots, they're grossly mistaken. We do well to ask ourselves, preachers included, what are we planting? What kind of fruit are we receiving in life? Well, what sorts of seeds are we planting? What we grow quite often, what we plant most often, quite often will grow, and then we have to deal with the produce. We think of that in a positive, happy sense usually, but bad seeds can produce bad plants as well. Well, I think that there are 3 beautiful, healthy seeds at least that we could plant, ones that God especially blesses. And the first are seeds of love, Christian love, L-O-V. And having grown up in an environment that had some extra servings of anguish, it breaks my heart now to see kids growing up without much love, without much love at all. I've made it a point to let my daughters know how much I love them. They're Ruth's daughters as well, by the way. How much I love them, not only in my words, I hope I've done that, but also in what I do, how we help, our actions. I know that embarrasses them when every time I see them anew, especially since we live miles apart, I give them a hug and tell them how much I love them. I think it embarrasses them a little bit, but I don't care. I believe it's very, very important. We all need to know that we are indeed loved. In his autobiography, The Son of the Ragman, actor Kirk Douglas talks about growing up with parents who had recently immigrated to the U.S. from Russia. And he recalls that his mother was warm and supportive, and she did her best to adjust to this new country. But he remembers that his father was a stern, untrusting, strict, cold individual. He was not at all used to giving encouraging words or pats on the back or hugs, and he remained a very distant, very private person. However, Mr. Douglas, he's over 100 years old, isn't he now, Kirk Douglas? Yeah. Tells a story about his father. One evening at school, young Kirk had a major role speaking, dancing, and singing in a play. And he knew that his mother was going to be there, but seriously doubted that his father would be. Yet to his surprise and amazement, about halfway through the program, he looked up and saw his dad standing at the back of the auditorium. And after finishing the evening's program, he wanted his father to come up and congratulate him for a job well done. Oh, but true to fashion, his dad was not able to say very much. Instead, he asked young Kirk if he'd like to stop on their way home and get a 10-cent ice cream cone. Now, a 10-cent ice cream cone meant two dips in those days. Well, Kirk Douglas looks back, he reflects back over all his awards in life, and he said he prizes and cherishes that dime ice cream cone with a slight smile from his father even more than an Academy Award. It wasn't the ice cream that counted, it was the love expressed, the attention given most that mattered. Can you imagine an actor saying that a dime ice cream cone, a two-dipper, meant more than an Oscar? Amazing. We all need to know that we are loved and dearly valued by someone. And even though it may take mistakes and falling flat sometimes, no matter what, we need to know that someone still loves us. And that's where grace comes in. The amazing grace of God through Christ Jesus comes in. That's exactly what God's amazing grace says to you and me. I know that you are not perfect. I know that you strive and struggle and stumble, but I love you, says the Almighty, through Christ my Son, with an awesome, ultra generous, amazing love. One of the greatest gifts that we can give, and I mean this literally, some of the greatest gifts that we will ever be able to give in our lives are those seemingly little seeds of loving kindness, compassion, common courtesy, encouraging words. We can bask in the wonder of God's grace and share then little measures of that wonderful warmth with others. With care and prayer, we plant seeds of love that will grow and become more precious than we might ever imagine. Second, we could plant seeds of faith. Now, faith in the Bible means believing, trusting, having confidence in. And faith, according to the New Testament, also has that element of clinging to, grabbing hold of. I like our modern image of Velcro. Have you Velcroed yourself to Jesus Christ? Or better yet, have you said yes to letting God Velcro you to himself? Biblical faith is more than just saying, I believe in your mind. It is that, but it also needs to seep down eventually and take hold of your heart. At our first Wednesday evening session a year ago, this past fall, about 13 months ago, one of our little five-year-old girls had a slightly new version of Jesus Loves Me, and she wanted to sing it for me, and her version went like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is fun. I like that. He is fun. You know, there's so much truth in that. Jesus is fun. In this sense, he brings infusions of joy into our lives, lightens our burdens, breaks through the bleak clouds that sometimes shroud our hearts, and brings back beautiful sunshine. Jesus helps us see life and faith and love with new eyes so very often. He gives us renewed life, saves us from staleness, boredom, and old ruts. Well, I think Jesus is fun. And I investigated a little bit. You know where that five-year-old learned that? From her mom and dad. No big surprise, is there? In other words, the seeds of their faith have already started to grow in that child's life. And no, they haven't reached full maturity yet, and they probably won't tremendously bloom for a number of years, but they are starting to bud right now. Dear friends, plant seeds. Be seed planters. Be sowers of excellent seeds. Plant seeds of faith with your co-workers, with your friends, seeds of love with your family, even those whom you may not get along so very, very well. Plant seeds of acceptance and goodwill in their lives. You don't need to be obnoxious to be effective. Don't worry that seeds are small. Jesus' image in Mark is the mustard seed, downright minuscule. Plant seeds of faith. Shortly before Christmas one year, a woman made a healthy investment in a brand new vacuum cleaner, and she couldn't wait to try it out. So she plugged the electric marvel in and turned it on. Without warning, the motor shut off. Then just as suddenly, the motor began again and went off again in a few seconds, started up then again, and she proceeded to vacuum on the on mode until it turned off. Then back on, she tried to vacuum frantically. Well, faster and faster she tried between the on and off cycles until she finally gave up, mumbling and muttering under her breath and preparing to give the salesperson a call. She went to unplug the vacuum, and she discovered that she plugged the vacuum into the blinker switch for her Christmas tree lights. God's power and goodness is available to all of us, and the Lord's presence is nearer than breathing when we're connected and plugged in to the right source. And when we're in touch, connected to the little deeds and opportunities of our faith, the seeds of love and faith, the seeds of helpfulness and encouragement will blossom. Oh, it may take a while, yes, but keep planting, they're going to blossom. And that is the right kind of produce right there, not jalapenos. In his name and for his sake, amen.